Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you. I love this theme. I'm so glad it's back. The NHL on ESPN. Speaking of, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from the NHL on ESPN. Greg, how you doing?
Yeah, that's where I am.
That's you.
Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Excited to be able to talk to you about some hockey every week. And I want to start with this Nashville Predators team that takes on the Carolina Hurricanes later on tonight. But Philip Forsberg, as of late, is starting to show signs of being Philip Forsberg. He scored in three of his last five, including the hat trick game against Vegas. He did not score against Montreal, but did have a point. Do you feel like that Forsberg is starting to round into form as we enter 2023?
Well, you'd hope so. I mean, obviously there's been a bit of an offensive uptick lately for the Preds, which has been good to see. I mean, the offense has obviously been one of the team's main Achilles heels this season. I'm really intrigued by tonight's matchup, by the way. The Carolina Hurricanes are a pretty stout defensive team, especially on home ice, so I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. But, you know, it's only a good thing to get Forsberg going. I think he's obviously one of the better offensive players in this league. And if he gets rolling, so should the offense get rolling.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And speaking of this offense, I mean, when I talk to David Poile, when we've talked to John Hines, it's the top guys, the stars have to play like the stars. And Forsberg is obviously at the top of that list. But, you know, we're seeing Matt Duchene. He's been hit or miss at times, but playing better as of late. You bring in Nino Niederreiter, the former Hurricane, is a good piece. But I look at him as more of a secondary scorer. Roman Josi is Roman Josi. But when you see this roster, especially at the top, what do you see right now for the Nashville Predators?
Well, what I'm seeing is sort of that dispersal of talent throughout the lineup, and I think that's one of the more interesting things. You know, certain teams have certain reputations, and I think the reputation for the Predators has always been, like, loading up offensive lines. I mean, even going back to the old Arvidsson, Forsberg, Johansson years, right? But lately I've been seeing kind of a dispersal throughout the lineup of, you know, playing Forsberg on one line. I know they've put Johansson and Duchene together a bunch, but like Niederreiter playing down with Granlund and trying to spread out the scoring as best they can throughout the lineup. And I think that's what you have to do if you're Nashville. I mean, again, like, goal scoring has been kind of a challenge this year. I know it's earned John Hines a bunch of criticism. So having those players throughout your lineup and trying to create as much depth as you can is probably the way to go.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL. Now, the Central Division right now has Dallas at the top, and I think we all thought it would be Colorado. We know why it's not. They've battled so many injuries this year, and I feel like as they get healthier, watch out, because here they come. But what is your thoughts on Dallas, Winnipeg, Minnesota, the top three in the Central Division right now?
Well, like you said, it's a bit of a topsy-turvy division right now, and I think Colorado is very much in a – you got to be in it to win it mode. The President's Trophy is not going to be happening to them anytime soon with the amount of injuries that they've had. And slowly but surely, they're going to get healthier. Nikushkin's due back soon. They have to wait a little bit longer for Gabe Landeskog and Bowen Byram, but they'll hopefully come back by the end of the year. And they know essentially the team that they have and how good it is, although they'll probably need to load up with another center at the trade deadline. The big surprise, you know, for me is seeing Winnipeg thrive under Rick Bonus as their head coach. He's come in there and instilled a sense of accountability. He's gotten guys that have never looked like they wanted to play defense on that team. He's allowed their defense to activate offensively. In the case of Josh Morrissey, he's having an incredible season. But most of all, like, Connor Hellebuck, who has been the sole responsibility of getting them into the playoffs in previous years, looks like himself again. That's made all the difference. And in Dallas's case, I told everybody before the season, man, Pete DeBoer, that guy goes to a market, he goes to a team. That team's usually playing for the cup that year. Like, he's got a knack for having incredible first seasons with teams, maybe not great third seasons, and by the fourth season he's usually at the door. But the first season is really good, and you bring him in, you have you know, talent throughout that lineup. You have that Jason Robertson line with Pavelski and Hintz, who I think got injured last night, unfortunately, but that line's been great. So Dallas has been on point, and I had someone tell me for my column this week, it's on ESPN.com now, about which teams have the highest hopes for the Stanley Cup, that they believe Dallas is in that rare league with Boston and Carolina and maybe a couple of others to be a true cup contender right now.
Yeah, and I put Pete DeBoer and Peter Laviolette like in the same ilk, that they're going to go in, they'll get results quick, and then I guess guys get tired of that hard you-know-what mentality that they bring. That's what it feels like.
It does feel like that, and I'll say this about Laviolette. I mean, obviously you guys know him pretty well. I was talking to somebody who knows the Caps pretty well the other day, and he's done a sneaky good job with that team. They were playing an aggressive physical game early in the season, and then they kind of changed tactics in the beginning of December to be more like, we're going to control pace of play, we're going to determine, you know, how fast our opponents can play, and it's really made a difference. I mean, defensively, they've been one of the better teams in the league since then, and they've certainly... I think they're catering more towards having an older team than the way they were trying to play earlier this season. So even the veteran coaches can sometimes change their tactics if they see they aren't working.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Now, the side of the the standings that surprised me a little bit is the Pacific, especially seeing Seattle, their second year in the league, in third spot. Los Angeles, I felt like they would be better. I don't know if I thought they'd be second right now in the Pacific better, but I'm not as surprised about them. But what do you think about the Kraken?
The Kraken are an interesting team to think about in the context of, were they this good or potentially this good last season and they were just subverted by bad goaltending? Because that was kind of their contention. Their contention was, hey, you know, we might not be Vegas in year one, but we're a lot better than our record shows. And we're just not getting the saves. And so they're getting the saves, incredibly, from Martin Jones, who I think a lot of us thought was cooked and not necessarily a guy you could rely on to get you the saves. But the real difference for me is the emergence of Matty Beniers, who, you know, might be the favorite for the Calder Trophy right now for Rookie of the Year. Their weakest spot in that lineup was at center. Bringing him in and surrounding him with really talented veteran wingers that they had previously, and then bought in guys like Andrei Burakovsky, in the offseason. It's a really solid forward lineup. They play pretty well defensively, and as long as they keep on getting the goaltending, I think they're going to be right in the thick of things.
Greg, you know me. We talk a little wagering from time to time, and you're a regular on Daily Wager. So I have somebody that's asked me, you got any value plays for Cup future odds?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to be on Daily Wager again today, by the way. They're going to have me on talking about the Vegas Penguins game, which I'm trying to make heads or tails of right now because trying to figure out the Penguins game. The game is a real tough situation. I don't know what the futures on are right now for a team like Dallas, but that's one I'd look at as a team that could go quite a ways. Like we said, DeBoer in year one, usually on point. I got to imagine
plus 1600 is what I'm seeing.
Is Carolina the second choice behind Boston right now, or who's the second choice behind Boston?
Colorado still. I mean, it depends on what book, but I'm looking at Vegas Insider, and Colorado is still second behind Boston, and then Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina is the one if you're looking for a little bit better value than just going with the chalk. They're the team that I'm really fascinated by, just because we haven't necessarily seen their master plan come to fruition yet. We'll see it soon, which was the acquisition of Max Pacioretty from the Vegas Golden Knights in the offseason. This Carolina team, I've covered them a lot in the playoffs. They're a team that just needed to find that like one goal in a game, be it a game seven, be it a critical elimination game, and their lineup just couldn't generate it. So them going out and getting Pacioretty and getting Brent Burns in the offseason to me was really intriguing. It was symbolic of a team knowing that they needed something to kind of get them over the hump, and I'm intrigued if they figured out the right formula. So if I was going to bet a future, I think I'd bet it on the Hurricanes. But there's probably some value deeper on that list if I could take a look at it.
So I'm curious of this, because Vegas says plus 1400 for the Devils. The Devils are second in their division right now. Are you buying them yet, or you still need to see more?
No, I'm buying them as a playoff team for sure. Like, I think they've righted the ship. They went through a real tough stretch in December where they were shooting, you know, under 6%, and their goaltending, which had been really good, had been faltering a little bit. But you know, they're picking up points. They walloped Detroit last night. They look much like themselves again. So I think they're going to be fine. But as a cup team, the thing about the Devils that worries me is that it really is a league where the regular season is a different animal than the postseason. And the Devils, for all of their speed and puck possession and prowess offensively, don't really strike me as a team that knows how to kind of grit out a win in the playoffs yet. They've got some guys that'll be able to do it. I mean, Andre Palat from the Lightning is a guy they acquired in the offseason for that very reason. But it's a young team. They still have to kind of learn how to win. I don't think they're cup ready, but I do think that they're going to have a hell of an education if they make the playoffs. That'll really portend good things for them in the next couple of years.
Greg, great stuff. Good to talk to you, and we're looking forward to doing this every week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, talking NHL with us. Will join us every Thursday at 9:45. Very, very excited about that. Coming up next, another update on Damar Hamlin that I've just seen on Twitter. Plus, how important can leadership really be for a team when it comes to the Titans especially? We'll discuss that next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.